Hello and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast for Friday, 29th of June, 2018. I'm your host, David Hayden, and joining me today in the office is markets editor Stephen McGinn.
Hi, David.
And by phone from Mexico City is ISIS Energy senior analyst James Fowler. Hello, James.
Hi, David. Nice to be joining you.
As many of our listeners know, we are two very short days away from the Mexican general election when Mexico will choose its new president and Congress. There's a lot at stake here, both for Mexico and for the U.S. Mexico is Latin America's second largest economy, next to Brazil. And aside from what the results mean for Mexico's economy, there's also the question of how it will affect energy and fuel trade between Mexico and the U.S., as well as foreign investments in oil and gas. Mexico's president is chosen on the first vote with no runoff, and the presidential frontrunner, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, a.k.a. AMLO, has a large lead. James, you just wrote a comprehensive insight on this topic. I wonder if you could give us an overview of AMLO, and can you elaborate a bit on just how significant his lead is in the polls?
Okay, so suppose in Mexican politics, AMLO is not exactly a new face. He's been involved in politics on a national level in some way, shape, or form for the past 30 years, and that included a stint as mayor of Mexico City in the early 2000s. He's also had two previous attempts at running for president in 2006 and in the last election in 2012. For those of you who are not so familiar with Mexican politics, then AMLO, I really don't think it's too unfair to liken him to a Mexican Donald Trump. He's somewhat of a populist. He is heavy on promises but light on actual policies. He's straight-talking, outspoken, and he's vowed to fight corruption and attack the perceived abuses of the political classes in Mexico, the so-called mafia of power, which has been a favorite saying of his. Now, the big difference to Trump is that AMLO is definitely on the left of the political spectrum economically, although not always on social issues, whereas obviously Trump and the Republican Party are definitely on the right in terms of economics and politics. Now, AMLO draws big support from poorer sections of Mexican society, mainly those in the countryside or blue-collar parts of urban Mexico, and also among the young, who are drawn to him as an outsider and someone who can deliver change from the two main political parties, the PRI and the PAN, who between them have held the presidency in Mexico for the last 90 years. His message seems to be working as well, because the most recent polls put AMLO at 20%, or 20 percentage points ahead of his nearest rival. Now, of course, we have experience on both sides of the Atlantic of polls being incorrect. And given the levels of corruption in Mexican politics in the past, you know, I would hazard against saying that it's a foregone conclusion that he actually wins. However, the interesting thing about AMLO is that, unlike in previous elections in the US and the UK where polls tightened in the lead-up to the vote, his lead in the polls has actually grown while the campaign has progressed. So while I wouldn't say it's a done deal, it would be an extraordinary turnaround and a real political upset if AMLO didn't win the election this Sunday.
What does AMLO winning mean for Mexico, especially in regards to the North American Free Trade Agreement and energy reform? You mentioned in your insight that some of the statements made by AMLO and separately his political team have been a bit contradictory, especially for energy.
Yeah, good question. So, as I mentioned before, AMLO has been very heavy on promises and light on the actual detail, light on the policies. So it's not easy to guess what he's actually going to do should he win power. To deal with the North American Free Trade Agreement, the NAFTA, first of all, AMLO is largely in favor of renewing that agreement. He has said he will appoint his own chief negotiator, and he singled out Jesus Zaire, who was previously a senior economist at the World Bank and is also was a Mexican representative to the World Trade Organization, who would be his choice to head up the negotiations. So that obviously, he wants to bring in his own team, and he's serious about trying to negotiate NAFTA. What he said is it should be in the best interests of Mexico. And AMLO has said that he's willing to do a deal with the U.S., come to terms with Trump on many different issues, so long as it's deemed to be the best interest of Mexico. Obviously, NAFTA has been one of the central planks of economic growth for Mexico over the past, 20 years now. And so even a populist like AMLO knows that it's important to the future to have some sort of agreement in place. He's made some kind of nebulous statements during the political campaign about developing the domestic market in Mexico, self-sustaining internal consumption. But But he's also a pragmatist, and he knows the benefits of having a free trade agreement. Throughout the campaign, AMLO's also expressed an interest in talking to and building a relationship with Trump, so long as it's based on mutual respect. And he cited the US president's use of inflammatory language with regards to Mexicans as an example of this kind of disrespect.
Right.
The current government in Mexico is extremely unpopular. It's been seen to be weak in comparison to Trump and the US. So should AMLO win, the relationship between he and Trump is going to be an extremely interesting one. And even though they would seem like unlikely partners and bedfellows, given their kind of different political backgrounds, I actually think that you might find that they have more in common than people might think, as kind of straight-talking, strongmen, populist figures. In terms of the energy reform, it's a bit more complicated. AMLO has always opposed the reforms since its conception in 2013. And if you look at his manifesto, he talks about reviewing upstream contracts that were awarded to private companies for the exploration and production of oil and gas. And he wants to make sure those contracts are basically in the best interest of Mexico. AMLO has also talked about the need to strengthen state enterprises, companies such as Pemex and state power utility CFE, which were previously monopolies, but now under the energy reform face competition. And he's promised to kind of freeze gasoline prices for at least 3 years, as well as power prices for the residential sector. Now, several of his advisors have said that those who are expected to play a prominent role in his government should he win have kind of downplayed these statements and tried to reassure business. However, on a public platform, AMLO has refused to back down from them, saying only that he doesn't plan to nationalize anything and that he won't pursue any constitutional changes in the first 3 years of his government. And that last statement is important because if he wants to actually rescind the energy reform, he has to change the constitution. And with the number of seats in play in this upcoming election, to be able to change the constitution, you need 2/3 majorities in both chambers of Congress and over half of all state legislatures or state governments to approve it as well. And it's very unlikely that even in this present election, he is going to be able to get that position to approve that change. However, it's quite possible that he could get simple majorities in both chambers of Congress, and that would enable him to tinker with the laws that really kind of created the energy reform, the enabling laws that laid the platform for the opening of the oil, gas, downstream and electricity markets. So even if he can't change the constitution, there are ways he can change the nature and the policies of the reform. Final thing to bear in mind, though, is also money. AMLO has talked about the need to produce more oil, build new renewable energy projects and construct new refineries. And the obvious question there is, with what money? The Mexican state does not have the money to invest in these projects, as well as all the social programs that his government is going to want to pursue.
Let's zoom into energy and trade right quick. Stephen, you were at an industry event 2 nights ago explaining what the election results could mean in regards to U.S. fuel and product exports to Mexico. I wonder if you could go over some of the main points that you discussed.
Yeah, sure. You know, we talk about the upstream side, we talk about the downstream side. There is talk from AMLO saying that, you know, he wants to look back at some of those upstream reforms, and that runs into some risk as well. But mainly, primary point is that the downstream side, Mexico is importing a lot of refined products simply because their refineries aren't running at capacity to supply their citizens with the fuel demand. So a lot of those products come from the U.S., and the U.S. market share of our exports of fuel and gasoline and propane are continuing to increase, and they're expected to keep increasing over the next few years simply because Mexico's demand is growing. The U.S. is the closest neighbor. The U.S. Gulf is a producing zone, and it's the shortest distance to a foreign market for U.S. refiners and U.S. marketers of fuel. So in essence, you know, what that basically means is Pemex is having to compete with foreign companies that come in and sell product. So while that increased the prices for consumers, it basically opened up the market. While prices went up, and that's, you know, gasoline prices, fuel prices have gone up, and that's gone and drawn the ire of its citizens, hence the rhetoric that the candidate has talked is attractive. But for the most part, it's expected that those downstream market activity is not going to change much. Now, going back to those reform of the Constitution on the upstream side, if there is change there, that could be detrimental to the progress that they've made on the upstream side, specifically if companies don't, they come back in and their production doesn't increase, or they just don't have that capital to be able to increase their declining crude oil production. That's very important.
James, as you previously mentioned, Obrador is in all likelihood a pragmatist. Assumptions are Mexico's energy reforms aren't going to be undone overnight, if at all. Not to mention Mexico is still going to need fuel and production imports no matter who wins the election. So what's the worst case scenario here? Open question.
The worst case is essentially a return to resource nationalism, in my opinion. And again, another risk would be any kind of price control measures to isolate Mexico from the foreign and global market. You know, they artificially set the price just to keep the citizens happy. That's not going to bode well for the Mexican energy market.
James, thoughts on that?
There's probably two different angles you have to look at this, right? You have a U.S. market, so you have companies in the U.S. who are wanting to export refined products, LPGs, natural gas to Mexico, and then you have what goes on within Mexico itself. Now, on the first aspect, I really don't see any danger. Mexico needs to consume LPGs. It needs to import LPGs from the U.S. It needs to import refined fuels from the U.S. It needs to import natural gas from the U.S. And no matter which government is in charge, I don't see any dramatic impact to that. Even if NAFTA is revoked, I don't really see any dramatic impact to that trade, that bilateral trade across the border in the short term, because Mexico really needs these products. It can't supply them internally, and so it has to go to the U.S. If you're looking at the domestic market within Mexico, there is dangers. I think AMLO ultimately will prove to be a pragmatist, but the dangerous thing about his rhetoric is that it creates uncertainty. And I think we've already seen over the past few months, as it's become clearer that AMLO is likely to be the candidate that wins the election, you've seen a lack of investment or a lack of, or you've seen interest in Mexico, investment in Mexico kind of dry up. You haven't seen any new projects. Recent auctions for power plants have been delayed because there is uncertainty from the investment community about exactly what's going to happen post-election. So the danger I see is uncertainty, and I think that's going to continue at least for the next 6 months, probably even longer. We should have an idea about what AMLO can do by mid-August in terms of how both chambers of Congress are set up, whether he's going to have the majorities necessary to or required to be able to tinker with the reforms or with the enabling laws anyway. And then you should also see he's a transition team appointed by kind of late August, early September. And the membership of that transition team in various different government departments is going to give you a signal as to, all right, is it going to be a continuation, or is it going to be a of previous government policies, or is it going to be a big shift in terms of staffing and therefore in terms of ideology and the policies they implement? So there will be clues, but in terms of actual companies feeling secure enough that they're going to plow money into the energy sector within Mexico, I think the uncertainty is going to last for at least probably 6 months, more a year, until the government has been in place for 6 months and kind of given signals about how it intends to continue in terms of energy policy. I think, as I said, because of the perilous financial statement or the perilous financial state position of the Mexican state companies, their ability to invest in new projects and infrastructure which is needed in the country isn't there. And so realistically, you're going to need private investment of some sort to help build the infrastructure the country needs. And you know, AMLO cannot ignore that. And I think, as I say, as someone who has had a political career and has done deals with business before, I think what we'll actually see is despite the rhetoric, there will be a more pragmatic approach and a realization that, okay, well, it might be slightly different from what we've seen before, but there will still be room for companies to invest in Mexico and to play a role in the Mexican energy sector, particularly on the downstream side. I don't think that's going to be as heavily impacted as maybe the upstream. The upstream is probably a bit more politically sensitive.
Mexico's general election is on July 1st, this Sunday. Final results will be in early Monday morning. Stephen and James, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like more information on Mexico's general elections and what it means for markets, be sure to visit ISIS.com. And as always, be sure to tune in to the next podcast.